On the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes,
we're going to experience our leaves with Aganorsa leaf.
They have a wide variety of things here in the product line we're going to go over today. So I'm looking forward to kind of hopscotching, you know, geographically, you know, through their product line. Because, you know, I think much like Drew, I think I have some prejudice, you know, against things that we normally would say, oh, it's going to be awesome, you know, just because it's A plus B.
But you have an opinion?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't recall having this binder and filler, you know, from Jalapa. So I think that'll be an interesting discussion for sure.
Well, the cigars we're going to be reviewing today are the Aganorsa Leaf Signature Selection Corojo, the Anniversario Connecticut Box Press, the Rare Leaf Reserve Maduro, and the Guardian of the Farm, the Cerberus.
We'll be right back after this break. You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to Smokes episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. Today we're hosting, as well I'm hosting, I'm good old boy Barger, and around my table here is good old boy Mike.
Greetings, I am here substituting for Nate.
Yeah, Nate's off in Offwood Campers, Backwoods.
Nate Land?
Yeah, and good old boy Drew.
Hello? Is this on?
For now.
Oh, all right.
And good old boy Benjamin.
Can you hear me now?
We are definitely going to miss old Nader Salad today. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before... I'm not drunk, you are, with your local sheriff's department. And just after, how to shoot beer with Kid Rock. As you know, I hope you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well... anything that's smoked. As for today's segment, drumroll please.
I don't have a drumroll.
We're going to have to get one. We're going to experience our leaves with Aganorsa leaf. Aganorsa.
Do I get like a free prize if I say that correct, like more than once during this entire
episode?
Yes,
we will talk Aganorsa. About it in a small group.
All right.
That's right. So strap on and hang in tight.
Hold my hand.
While we navigate Eduardo's dream, we're going to have fun today.
Oh, Nelly.
But don't worry. If you miss anything, you can download the full episode from where?
Where do we? Anywhere. You can download it on any podcast app or right off our website, sipsudsandsmokes.com.
But before we dive into the shallow pool without our helmets on, let us remember, if you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered in our Cigar 101 episode, where all of the cigar speak can be decoded. Just search Sip, Suds, and Smoke, Cigar 101, and that episode should pop right up wherever you listen to anything you listen to. Well, maybe not everything you listen to, but we'll talk about that later. All right, so today, good old boy Drew has the honors of going over our smokes rating. Take it away, Drew.
We will be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes ratings, plus our signature sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1. This sucked before it was even lit. 2. I would smoke this again. 3. Where are they? I need a box.
So a little bit of overview from Aganorsa. In 1998, Eduardo Fernandez went to Nicaragua with a dream to grow the finest tobacco in the world that captured the very essence of Cuban cigars of old. To do this, he traveled to Cuba and assembled a world-class team of Cuban agronomicists. Sounds like a That's an interesting word.
I'm pretty sure that you just offended an entire island of people.
I'm agronomists.
Agronomists.
Agronomist. Thank you.
Oh, it wasn't supposed to be Spanish?
Thank you.
Can you use it in a sentence?
No.
Negative. Apparently not.
And anyway, they worked with the highest levels of Cuban tobacco, in many cases over half a century, and brought them to Nicaragua. These men oversaw the production of tobacco during the heyday of the Cuban cigars. They knew exactly the taste they were famous for, and they recognized they could recreate the style and aroma of Cuban leaf using traditional Cuban methods in conjunction with the resources available to them in Nicaragua. The tobacco they cultivated is named Aganorsa leaf.
Whew. I'm glad you got that last one correct.
I nailed that one. So we had the good pleasure to meet them at the PCA. They were really great people. The whole team with Aganorsa, it was just really inviting, and it was a good time. We reached out to them. They got us these products, and here we are today to share them with you. How did you guys, let's just overview this. What did you guys think overall? Like, give me a little bit of presentation. Like, you know, how did you like the presentation?
I mean, they had me at Nicaraguan, man. Yeah. You know, if you haven't paid any attention, say when we talked about types of cigars I generally smoke, every single one of these was right up my alley.
Maduros, right?
Not normally, I'm not normally a Maduro guy, but you guys converted me.
This is interesting. Very interesting.
So when I saw Nicaraguan, I was like, oh, okay, this should be good. It'll be nice and medium. It was not medium really at all, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
the presentation was great. Box press, you know, you don't see it often enough.
Yeah, typically you don't like Maduro, so that's interesting. Yeah. I'm glad to see you come to the dark side.
I mean, at least on this one, I'm the jury's out.
Yeah,
you know, let's say. But anywho,
Benjamin,
I'm a big fan of Aganorsa. You know, I think the packaging is put together really well. You know, the foundation of it being in Nicaragua and having the link back to Cuba, like the history really intrigues me. The line itself carries a bit of like fresh earth minerality kind of throughout their product that isn't necessarily my favorite, but it is something that I thought was interesting and really drove the complexity
of the cigars. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Like it's distinct.
That's a good, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's got that, you know, Nicaragua classically known for having that diatomaceous earth, right? That lava rock that a lot of these leaves grow in. Yep. It's something that you really, really pick up throughout this. You know, it is a terroir driven smoke, if you will. And I appreciate it for that fact, though it may not necessarily be in my go-to flavor profile.
Yeah.
As far as Nicaraguan cigars go.
Mike?
Well, I've only had one stick from Aganorsa, so I didn't get to enjoy all of these. But the one that I did have, I was very impressed. I remember I really enjoyed the construction of it, and it was a good smoke. They have a wide variety of things here in the product line we're going to go over today. So I'm looking forward to kind of hopscotching, you know, geographically, you know, through their product line. Because, you know, I think much like Drew, I think we have some things that are I have some prejudice, you know, against things that we normally would say, oh, it's going to be awesome, you know, just because it's A plus B. But
you have an opinion?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't recall having this binder and filler, you know, from Jalapa. So I think that'll be an interesting discussion for sure.
Well, the cigars we're going to be reviewing today are the Aganorsa Leaf Signature Selection Corojo, the Anniversario Connecticut Box Press, the Rare Leaf Reserve Maduro, and the Guardian of the Farm, the Cerberus. So let's get into it, man. Let's take it away, Drew, with the Leaf Signature Select Corojo.
So again, my initial perception, you know, reading about it was, because I like to read, you know, what the manufacturer has to say before I get into it. You know, tell me what it is I'm supposed to think, right? Go ahead and ruin the surprise. And I neglected to realize just how dark it was going to be. until I actually got it out of the wrapper, put it in my hands, felt the oils. And I'm like, okay, I'm probably not in for an enjoyable ride on this. Let me just take a minute. I did the burger method. I toasted the foot. I got it nice warm. I actually kind of toast almost the whole thing because I was sitting there just like, am I ready for this yet?
Go on.
I had the first draw and I was not immediately choked out by, you know, just overpowering tobacco. And I stopped and looked at it and was like, really? Huh?
Yeah. So,
and you know, as Mike alluded to construction, I have the worst luck, almost every cigar that I have in association with this show ends up having some sort of run develop. You know, it doesn't burn evenly. It gets hotter as it gets to the, you know, middle and then cools down. Like, it's just really strange. This smoked beautifully, perfectly. There was hardly a change in the profile. I wasn't quite sure how to describe it until, you know, Ben mentioned, you know, earthiness. And now, like, it was as if you made a Saison beer into a cigar.
Oof.
And lit it on fire.
Love that.
It was delicious. And terroir, I believe it in wine. I believe it in beer with the yeast. I've never really believed it very much with cigars. I just know, you know, the people that I know it's a thing, and you know, I'm fond of Nicaraguan and Cameroonian. I just thought it was the manufacturers
sure.
I liked were there, but no, I can taste that for sure.
Let's see what they have to say about it.
My apologies.
Don't apologize. You have nothing to apologize for.
So I was just overwhelmed with.
No, I'm glad. How good. Share the experience, bro. That's why we're here.
It is a Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper. It is a Nicaraguan Corojo binder. And the filler is Criollo 98, Nicaraguan Corojo and Miedo Tiempo. Medio Tiempo, perhaps.
Medio Tiempo?
Yeah, I nailed it, dude. Yes. Thanks for clearing that up.
I thank you.
Listen, English is not even my strong suit. Let's just be honest.
So,
but
now that I waxed so poetically for so long, my apologies.
No, that's okay. Well, I remember that cigar and I really enjoyed it. In fact, there wasn't much in this line that I didn't enjoy. So what were your take? Hot take. Give me 30-second hot take.
Yeah, I mean, so it's specifically this Corojo was something that is a start-of-the-day smoke for me. This was kind of the first release of this signature selection. And I think it had enough body and enough kind of spice complexity to really work for me, which is exactly, you know, what I'm looking for is a little bit more of the complexity. And then having it first thing in the morning, like this crushed with a cup of coffee.
I would say great with coffee.
Oh, right. Dude, for sure.
And you know, it may not be the introductory kind of smoke, but it's something that'll keep you coming back for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to say. We'll be right back. And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. This is our Aganorsa Takeover episode. We had just talked about the signature selection of the Corojo from Aganorsa Leaf. Let's hear what they have to say about their sticks.
So Casa Fernandez rebranded their name and look in 2018, launching some exciting new products. The Aganorsa Leaf has always been the tobacco arm of Casa Fernandez, but now their cigars will feature the name Aganorsa Leaf. That's where the name came about. So owners Eduardo and Max Fernandez, the father and son team behind Aganorsa Leaf, debuted this cigar, which I was so excited to talk about that I forgot to actually talk about the cigar. It contains a small amount of Medio Tiempo, or however the heck we say that, a rare tobacco leaf prized by growers for its rich flavor. The Aganorsa Leaf Signature Selection is an all Nicaraguan blend, as we outlined, comprised of a Rosado Claro Corojo 99 wrapper that covers the Corojo 99 binder and a mixture of rich fillers of Criollo 98 and Corojo 99 tobaccos. The filler also boasts a half leaf of rare Medio Tiempo. I'm going to mispronounce that about seven more times.
We're all going to mispronounce it.
Which are small tobacco leaves that occasionally sprout atop some, but not all, tobacco plants.
Oh, that's cool.
Making this tobacco ultra rare. The Fernandez Nicaraguan tobacco growing conglomerate is one of the largest. Most of their farms are located in Nicaraguan's best growing regions, and that allows them to select their very best tobaccos for this limited production cigar.
Nice.
Only 500 boxes of each size will be available in the Aganorsa Leaf Signature Selection. And with those numbers, and with as good as it was, they may be gone already.
Good luck finding those.
And I wonder if that has anything to do with how much you enjoyed it being puro Nicaraguan through and through.
That is a really good point.
I love a good puro, man. I love
the shade of the wrapper. May have been a bit misleading, which I think is just a fun tidbit to any cigar smoker out there, right? Like if you're running around looking in your local smoke shop and you can't decide on whether you want something lighter, darker, in between, reach out to that person that's working there, ask them some questions, because flavor profile and strength are going to be different. Depending on the blend and the manufacturer and what they're looking for.
So it's funny because I usually am pretty lengthy in my notes for cigars, but the only notes that I have was it was very mellow off the light with a hint of spice that blended very well. I actually enjoyed this cigar and didn't take any notes on it. I was just enthralled with that earthy, the diatomaceous, or whatever you were saying.
Diatomaceous.
Yeah.
I think you just got him confused with the Greek god of wine and plenty.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in small group. But you can really taste that earth, that spice that comes with that. Extremely
but not
well.
Overpowering. No,
it's balanced.
It was
really
very balanced.
Well.
That was my surprise.
Good job, Aganorsa, for that, because that cigar was awesome. Let's give it a rating. So we're going to go with a rating of 3. All right. Up next, we have the Aganorsa Leaf Anniversario Connecticut Box Pressed. Ben, take it away.
Oh, wait. Nate's not here?
Where's? Oh, right.
Nader Salad.
Oh, man. I thought he was here with us today. I was hoping for him. Right? So the Aganorsa Leaf Anniversario Connecticut is an Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapped Nicaraguan binder and filler. This thing was the box press that you spoke about, right? Something that you enjoyed.
Don't see it enough.
Yeah, fair enough. And I've got a buddy that smokes cigars pretty regularly, and he prefers the box press because he can kind of fit it in between his first and second finger and carry on doing like it's from a tactile perspective, which I also enjoy, right?
I just seem to have better luck with it burning more evenly with box press, not having too much of a flavor change. Like it just seems to be a more enjoyable, consistent vision of what the manufacturer may have intended.
See,
I don't know.
I feel like I have, now this could just be me, but I have more burn issues with box presses than I have with any other cigar. It's interesting. Maybe I need to spin it more, because when I smoke, I kind of rotate a cigar as I smoke, and I feel like it helps keep that heat turning, because heat rises, right? So you're going to get a burn issue if you don't turn it. That's just my thoughts. There's no science to there, so don't bomb us with your science is wrong.
Probably also depends on how hard you're pulling, how often, many different variables.
I like to let cigars rest every third.
I like to experiment. If somebody wants to send us more cigars for us to test this hypothesis.
Yeah, anyone out there listening wants to send us a cigar. Aganorsa, let's get a box.
And this is one of those cigars that I had that time to really dial in the tempo, right, and really enjoy smoking this cigar and kind of pay attention to the burn line. So I'm saying I didn't have any burn issues with this thing. The construction is great. It's got a little bit of like a natural like light oiliness to it, but the wrapper itself still has some some like rough texture which I really enjoyed just because it's got this cool rusticity to it. I think sometimes when you're smoking a cigar they can be a little bit too pretty, if you will, the heavy oily almost waxed over looking kind of finish of the leaf. So I enjoyed the difference in this one. It still has a bit of that kind of, rusticity to the outside.
Felt like it might have been a hand. I mean, it wasn't a hand roll, obviously. It's box press.
Right.
But, you felt like, you know, you were transported back in time a little bit, having something a little more authentic.
Absolutely. The band on this thing is absolutely beautiful. That you know, kind of like midnight blue and silver really pops. It's got the little bit of like tissue paper.
I will down say their banding,
which is really, really nice package.
The banding that they've come out with for their lines is just beautiful. I think elegant would be a word that I would put for it, because it's just, it's very appealing and it's direct to the point. There's not a lot of frou-frou crap on it, except for the paper. See, I'm not a fan of putting cigars in paper. That's just me. You know, no offense to anyone in the room that likes paper around their cigars.
I feel like we were recreating the can art episode. So we did a Suds episode on the can art and how it influenced the quality.
Dude, I'm a sucker for banding.
Of what we did. And so you can go back and look this up in our back catalog. But it'd be interesting to repeat the exercise where, on the Suds beer episode, what we did is we just had a bunch of cans and just the can art. And what we did is we said, of, you know, this one's going to be good, this one's not going to be good, you know, based on, you know, just looking at the can art. You could not have two things more decoupled than you could possibly imagine.
Right.
And the thing is that we rigged it where it was like three really good beers and three really bad beers, you know.
Oh, they did.
And
they rigged
we were not even remotely close at all. So
no.
I mean, Barger, I think the packaging related to the quality of the cigar is absolutely zero for sure. So,
yeah.
It does, you eat with your eyes, you buy with your
ears. I am such a sucker for branding. Like, I will walk into a humidor, and if something pops on the shelf, I'm going to buy one. Oh. I'm going to, because it's just me. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. And not, you know, it's a 50-50 chance whether it sucks or I love it.
So Barger is the reason we have a problem with marketing and advertising in our country.
Fair.
I'll take that. Right. I'm just calling this out.
That. That's fine.
And I say that as somebody who works in marketing and advertising.
Love that. It's fine. Look, I'm here for a reason. It's fine. We haven't figured out that reason, but when we do, we'll pin that to there.
Yeah, but it, you know, and just like we were talking about the Maduro in that same fashion, right? And don't let this Connecticut shade fool you.
Yeah.
On this box press Anniversario, like
there's a lot going on.
It's got a punch, right? It's one of those cigars where you get to the final third, and you know you've smoked a cigar. You know, definitely probably, you know, have a little bit of bacon and eggs before you sit on the patio with a cup of coffee.
Skip
with this
the milk.
So I love the pairing discussion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So for me, I found it to be a little bit more on the spicier end of a Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So, and that's that Ecuadorian leaf, you know, but this was actually, to be honest, this was my least favorite in the bundle that we got.
Interesting.
But I love the branding and I smoked it. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it, you know, so we're not going to go there with it, but you know, I
we'll get to that later.
Yeah, it wasn't
a
petite Lancero.
Listen,
that is correct.
You got everybody needs to make more petite Lanceros. I'll buy them. Or just send them to
me. Put it in a shiny box.
Favoritism.
That's right. Well, let's give it our numbers. What do we got? Well, that's going to be a 2. That doesn't mean it sucks. So go out and try it for yourself, people.
Or create your own band art.
Create your own band art. It's the paper. What gets me is the paper. Like, the paper makes it busy.
Can you have a blank band that you could draw on?
You know, but I feel like just take the paper. I don't think it lets the cigar breathe.
Is it because you have a hard time unwrapping it?
I don't want to talk about it.
He does have big fingers.
Yeah.
You know,
the opposable thumbs work.
The size of my fingers in this. These viewers don't know that.
That's why I'm telling them. Gosh. I have to be their eyes, Michael.
Listen, it's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Salad Fingers.
No, mine are pretty sausagey, too. I know your problems.
All right, so let's move on to the favorite Maduro here. And Benjamin, you want to read that one?
Back up to bat here. This is the Aganorsa Leaf, Rare Leaf Reserve Maduro. So that's a little bit of a tongue twister on the title there. Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, Jalapa and Esteli binder and filler. This one was my hands down favorite out of the four.
Agreed.
Really, really enjoyed this cigar. it's one that I would seek out consistently in my local humidor. This is something that I would recommend to someone, even though it is full strength, right? This is definitely a day in smoke. It's got those beautiful coffee notes that I'm looking for, yeah. Right? A lot of that kind of cocoa, and you know, maybe like dark hot chocolate, even maybe more like a Abuelita, right? It's got a little bit of that kind of nice cinnamon and baking spice to it.
Okay,
if you've never had Abuelita, it's a Mexican hot chocolate.
Yeah,
it reminded me of it.
It's delicious.
It's much like this bourbon I have in my glass.
So it reminded me of Westbrook's Mexican cake.
Yeah,
that's 100%.
Yeah.
That's a good beer.
So I will say that I like the beer better than the cigar, unfortunately. It was...
Really?
It was enjoyable.
Just get out.
I preferred the Nicaraguan. I'm not ready to go all the way dark yet. I just... Man. It was enjoyable. It smoked well, you know.
Killing me, Smalls.
It didn't kill me. It was... I won't say I hated it. Because I didn't hate it. I have put down many Maduros that were just too much. And this was not too much. I would not counsel it as a good beginner's Maduro.
No.
First off, let's start. What is too much?
That is a very subjective
For you, answer. What is too much? Because I need to know, because I'm going to only buy you those cigars.
This was too much.
Is it a strength thing?
Opus X is too much.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Opus X is definitely too much.
Wow.
You said you were buying only those. Exactly. So.
Yeah. Where is Drew's mute button?
Yeah, right?
Gosh. Opus X is not too much. Opus X is delicious. I'm messing with it.
Good Lord.
I mean, it's... If you are a cigar smoker who's not into Maduros, and I am generally not into Maduros, this is not the one to start with. That's what I would say as far as too much. You know
what I love is that the I think they blended this cigar perfectly. I think that as far as Maduros go, this is your quintessential. This is a Maduro. Welcome to me.
This is a Maduro smoker's Maduro.
Yeah, this 100%. Is, if you love a full body cigar, pick this thing up on the shelf and you will not be disappointed.
It was the packaging that got you too, wasn't it?
Oh God, yeah.
That black and gold label. Man, this thing looks like it's for a special occasion.
It was pretty. Gold. I will say the gold made me a little more scared though, because it like just the juxtaposition of how dark it was.
That's great though. It makes it pop. That's what makes it pop, man. Yeah, I love it.
I'm obviously not the target market for this cigar.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that in
smaller. Beautifully rolled, oily, delicious. Oily,
the veininess, the consistency, I've smoked many of these, and I've smoked many of the Rare Leafs. The Rare Leafs is one of the ones that really drew me.
Consider me a fanboy.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Aganorsa for sure. For sure.
I enjoyed Aganorsa very much.
Well, let's give our review about it. We're going to go with a 3. We're going to just ignore Drew.
As usual.
The other end of the table. His views, thoughts, and opinions do not reflect...
Can I have Nate's proxy vote?
No.
I can help you out here, Drew.
You're not getting that. You're just staying on the ones and twos.
Bring down the aggregate.
Yeah. Quiet down, Nancy.
I hated it. I didn't even smoke it.
You didn't even smoke it.
It's just my default position, you know? Dr. Hater hated it.
Yeah.
It can only go up from there, right?
Correct. Well, Mike hates everything.
Set the bar low.
Yes.
Right. That should be... Yeah, that could be an interesting public access cable show. Mike hates everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. That's going
to
be...
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Yeah. Mike you had always that queued hates up. Things.
Wow.
That's It should be like, instead of like Clarissa Explains It All, it's Mike Hates Everything, the new Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
Everyone gets slimed.
I'm still shopping the theme song.
You know? I would say it doesn't need to be. I don't know if Nickelodeon would be the right target audience. I would worry about the children of our future. Here.
Definitely Let's a TV Land exclusive.
Yeah, ooh, definitely. Right.
Like a Nick at Night kind of thing.
Distribution, yeah.
Like it comes on at 1 a.m. before we come on at 2.
I could do this with donuts to start with, for my target audience. Ooh. All right. These donuts suck, okay? They really do.
What's his face has the pizza, right? Mm. You can do donuts.
I thought you were going donuts as a whole.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
He likes donuts on the whole.
This will be an interesting discussion. So, you like cake donuts, you like yeast donuts?
All of them.
Cake donuts.
All of them.
What'd you say, Drew?
Cake.
Cake?
Cake.
If you want cake, buy cake. Don't put it in a donut.
I don't like cake. Man.
Yeah. I don't like cake either.
I like cake when it's fried. You like it's shaped into a ring.
Deep fried cake.
Especially with ridges.
Well, yeah. That is just, you know.
It's going to deep fry this.
It's a texture thing. It's a texture thing.
What did you say, Barker?
I like all donuts. I'm a fat kid.
Let's like free donuts.
So one the of hot my, sign is on in Mike's life.
One of my first jobs out of high school was I worked for a donut shop.
Ah.
This explains so much.
I had to be there at 2:30 in the morning.
Probably relates to why he likes Maduro so much.
I would go out and party and come into the donut shop just drunk and make donuts. And by the time the sun's out and it's 8 a.m. and the customers are coming in, I'm like, yeah, what do you want? Buy the donuts or don't. And I'm just sitting here shoveling them in. Because we get to eat them. I'm just like, hey, donuts, donuts.
I have a feeling there's a tow truck story with donuts somewhere
in
your psyche. It is buried in that, very rich, background.
That's right.
Somehow.
If you wanted to tip a tow truck driver, buy them donuts.
Okay.
That's right. Well, I think I'm really saddened. It breaks my heart that you hate Maduro's.
I don't hate Maduro's.
You hate Maduro's.
Hate is such a strong word.
Yeah. I do have to say, this rapper, the San Andreas, it seems like it's a love-hate thing. I keep on running into, I like it as a, I like it as a rap. I don't like it as a rap. I run across, things that don't work well with binders, with this. I don't know. It seems like I'm constantly fighting it's a love-hate thing. And I always walk into a Maduro that's using San Andreas as going, oh, I'm quite sure how this
what's about to happen.
Yeah. Right? And I don't know if San Andreas is only sourced from Mexico or if I don't know if San Andreas actually is grown and utilized, as a wrapper leaf in some other parts of the world. But I know that it's been a love hate, hit or miss thing for me.
It's the spice complexity, right?
It's complex.
And it's got to be on the right blend.
I like it when it's complex.
It's got to be on the right blend of a Maduro for it to work, like the Mexican cake that you described, right? Like it's got to be that perfect blend of spicy.
But it has to be fried Mexican cake.
No, yes. Fair. Yeah.
With the ridges.
Cinnamon glaze.
And we'll be right back after this. And we're back.
Oh,
thanks for staying with us in our chaos. It has been one thing after another today with technical difficulties, but Mike, our beloved guardian, is taking care of us today, and he has invoked many names for all of us.
And there may or may not be rum in his coffee cup.
There is now.
There is definitely rum in his coffee cup. So now we're going to come off of there, and we're going to go into the Guardian of the Farm, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. Now, I was introduced to this cigar a while back, and man, I have smoked many of these Cerberus cigars. I absolutely love them. It is a Nicaraguan Corojo from 2012, and the binder and filler is Nicaraguan. And if you'll give me a second through technical difficulties, it is 100%. Come down. There you go. It's Aganorsa Nicaragua is all Tipa Nicaragua, Capa Nicaragua, and Capote Nicaragua. And man, they just say it all. It's right there. It is a bold, very spice-forward cigars. And this is, they say it's a light spice and a rich, smooth body to blend. And the filler included single leaf of rare Maduro Tempo and amplified depth and complexity. A truly special cigar. That's what they say about this cigar. But what I say about this cigar is I freaking loved it. This cigar is fantastic. And I'm interested, extremely interested to hear what you guys had to say about it. So, Drew, what did you think about this cigar?
Really?
Yeah, go
You're
ahead.
You're going to start with me?
I'm going to start with you.
After that intro?
We're going to put you on the chopping block here.
I hated it.
Thanks, Mike, jumping in front of that one for me.
Mike's going to throw himself on it.
Hate is a strong word. I very rarely use hate. I like to say that I enjoy euphemisms. Things are approachable,
For all intents and purposes, Nate smoked this lineup, not Mike, so His frame of reference is very small.
Yes.
I will just say in the shorthand is if the the San Andreas wrapper was not for a beginner Maduro smoker, this is definitely not for a beginner Maduro smoker. I was able to taste, you know, a bit of the spice and complexity in the San Andreas. It was very enjoyable. This was, for me, very one note, very, I use the word hot, but it is not hot. You know, it's not a heat thing. It wasn't drawing
cayenne pepper
warmly. Not even cayenne pepper. It, I, you know, gasoline.
Okay.
See, yeah. I wouldn't say cayenne. I would go more of the white pepper route.
A little bit more floral.
A little bit more floral pepper. A little bit more earth tones to it. I thought this cigar, again, I'm a fanboy, so I'm just going to say I loved it. But as far as the complexity of it, I put that this thing is nutty, earthy, packed full of flavor, and a spice bomb.
I will agree with that last part.
I absolutely loved it from start to finish. That even from the dry draw from the beginning, after you cut it, before you light it, you take your dry draw and make sure your airflow is good, which one thing I'll say to Aganorsa, you guys, quality is on stand, is on point.
I concur, doctor.
I
would absolutely agree with that as well.
I have not found a knot. I have not found a run. I have not found anything in any of these. And I talked earlier about runs and box presses cigars. I didn't have that issue with these cigars, which I typically do. So as far as it goes, man, the flavor profile is on point for my palate. Yep. And I think I paired that with a couple of different whiskeys that I enjoy. You know, some of the bourbon group, this is the way that I'm a part of from Dallas, Texas. Like, we had a honey barrel that we did, which we called the Pooh DeLorean.
I liked it.
I like the Pooh DeLorean a lot. And we have our own cigar blend 1792 single barrel that we did this year. I put both of those with it. And man, just pound for pound, it was just each sip, each draw was just on point with this Cerberus.
See, I bet that the sweetness would balance that out really, really well.
It does. It really does.
This was number three out of the four for me. If you rank them, you know, one being the favorite, four being the least favorite. This was three. So it's the bottom half of my list. I got the one note, but this is the one that really drove home that it, you know, it's kind of dirt floor, earthen flavor profiles. Is really solid mineral, like almost it's almost got like a dryness to it, right? Yeah. Like it's almost got like a bit of tooth to it, and it definitely isn't my favorite. The Guardian of the Farm, though, I love the story behind the brand there, right? Yeah. The Bulldogs guard the tobacco farms at Aganorsa, and as a Bulldog owner, I love that.
Right? I wanted to like it.
Big fan, and I think you nailed it on the dry draw, right? Like that dry draw, I was excited. I was like, man, this is gonna be something
amazing
that I'm really gonna enjoy. And then on the light, it just kind of wanes for me, right? It's got its own individuality that I do not necessarily subscribe to. You know, so I would definitely not encourage anyone to not try this cigar.
Yeah.
But it just, like I said, it doesn't do it for me.
See, I think it's a cigar smoker's cigar. Like, if you smoke cigars and you really enjoy that spicy, earthy, kind of mineralistic flavor, boom, that's that hit. Blah, 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 blah.
You used an interesting word earlier, Ben, that made me put my finger on it. It has an almost an astringent quality to it that I would use to describe a wine, you know, that, you know, clears the palate, as say, if you will. And that's actually probably one of the reasons why I probably did not enjoy it as a cigar, because that's not normally something I look for in a cigar from a flavor, like mechanic profile.
So I would challenge you on the Maduro and on the Cerberus to pick one of each more back up and put them with coffee. I know you're a coffee snob.
No, I was smoking this one with a root beer.
Yeah,
you know, so I can dig
but
that.
But that sarsaparilla with that root beer, man, yeah, that sweetness really draws out that that spice and mellows it out. But that coffee, when you put coffee with a good Maduro or good freaking San Andreas or Corojo, like you just...
Are we talking Folgers or are we talking like some single origin business here? I'm talking like
some single origin, some good like cupping coffee. You know, Mike knows all about the cuppings. It's his favorite term.
I do.
So I would encourage you to revisit.
I'll revisit it with coffee. I don't generally enjoy coffee with cigars as a pairing because it tends to amplify the parts of cigars that I don't enjoy. You know, when I'm smoking cigars, I like things that are. I'm looking for more for like sweeter profiles from the cigar generally. You know, sweet is such a subjective term.
But let's just say this, like you, and I'm assuming you, okay. So I'm assuming that you, when you're drinking a single origin coffee, you hit them bitter notes. You like that bitter kind of
sometimes earthy it depends. When I drink coffee, I don't, spring for single origin. I just throw some beans I get shipped from New Mexico in my French press. But if I do get single origin from a local spot, cram it in your mouth
like it's work.
I mean, you know, sometimes we drink for the effect, sometimes we drink for the taste. You know?
Yeah.
But the single origin stuff I actually usually more enjoy, like the berry notes or
okay, so more of the floral berry, yeah. Kind of citrusy.
I would generally describe that as what I'm looking for when I'm going single origin, which is also what I'm generally looking for more with a cigar. Actually, is more of that floral berry. Like I'm Speyside versus high, you know, Isla. Ugh,
get out.
You know,
no, dude, my man's got it right there.
You know,
Speyside.
So I say Highland, really, if we want to get technical, because you can get both, you know, the best of both worlds sometimes. But
I'm a malty scotch.
Don't compromise. Make a decision.
Not a hoppy scotch. So, Mike, what would you say about coffee if you were putting coffee with a cigar?
I don't think he does.
No, I have tried. And I think it's been a lot of, you know, Barger's encouragement saying that, you know, he enjoys, you know, the two together. But I think the thing is that, you know, single origin to me is akin to a single barrel program, you know, for whiskey.
Sure.
You know, every single barrel is going to be different.
Absolutely.
And with coffee, you have elements that are there that provide some basis of the taste profile based on the soil conditions and the variety of coffee and the elevation, you know, that's associated with it. Much there's like a lot tobacco. Of things. So, you know, I mean, if I had to describe those, that's kind of like the genetic makeup. In other words, it doesn't matter, you know, if you put that combination, you know, somewhere else, it should contain like 60% of, you know, the same way that it would no matter where it's at. But, you know, that other 40% is it's love and sunshine and rain, you know, and you know,
struggle.
It's an agricultural, you know, based product. And so it's going to have, you know, the same, you know, elements that you would have with a single barrel program that is also at the behest of, you know, weather. And so, you know, that's the way I think it's very difficult to describe, to say, well, I love single origins from Guatemala, or I love, you know, Vista Hermosa, you know, at 8,700 feet, you know, in Guatemala, or sure. I like Weiwei, you know.
Wait, don't tell me.
In Guatemala.
Well, and I guess that's a good point as to why they have the vintages on the harvest, so that you could try to identify.
So I think when you hear us go through coffees, and the reason why we're taking the time, you know, to share the complete, you know, description of something, don't fall into the trap, you know, much like, I think cigars fall in to some element of some of the same aspect of genetic makeup. You have we just had a discussion about, you know, San Andreas, you know, as a wrapper, and not every crop of tobacco is going to be exactly the same. No. It's going to have different characteristics.
It's seasonal.
It is very, it's going to be, again, it's at the behest of, you know, love and sunshine, you know? And so even some of the ways in which, you know, especially, you know, wrappers, broadleaf wrappers are actually processed, you know, post-harvest, as well. How long were they aged? How were they stacked? You know? How much, humidity were they, exposed to? I've even seen, some, tobacco warehouses where, they're restacking and flipping, broadleaf tobacco, after, 3 months, they'll restack the entire pallet so that it ages out, completely different. I know some manufacturers that they actually move their broadleaf around to different parts of the warehouse, just to get, certain characteristics with it.
That's something I hope that we can go on a tour sometime, maybe do a Puro Sabor or something and go check out these facilities and learn a little bit more about the process.
Yeah. So, I think much the way that, producers of other products, winemakers, brewers, distillers are all trying to, they're trying to navigate all this, variability, that brings it around to say, every time you have a San Andreas Maduro wrapper, it should have this taste profile with our brand associated with it.
Yeah.
And the same way that, winemakers are always struggling, to dial in to say, well, last year's vintage was just amazing, so that's exactly what we're going to hit, once again. If the grapes don't give it up, they don't give it up.
Sometimes the target's always moving with that.
Right? Absolutely, yes.
So for San Andreas, for me, though, I always resort to the staple, which it's hard-pressed to find anymore, but the Room 101 San Andreas that he came out with when he first released his brand. That San Andreas, to me, is the staple of what a San Andreas needs to be. And it's like when it hits those points, man, it's hard to mess up a San Andreas wrapper.
That's very true. And I think that when you're working with a product that, especially, a first mover, they have the benefit of establishing what is that profile.
This is what this is going to taste like.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you hit a consistency in your baseline, your product will always shine through.
Yeah. And you've seen this with just tons of things. The thing I'm thinking of right now is, California, red, and Cabernet Sauvignon. I mean, it should feel and taste like somebody has shoved a bell pepper off your left nose, all day long.
And this is why I'm an Alexander guy.
Yeah. and a lot of the winemakers, in the late 60s, early 70s, they were establishing that big booming, flavor profile, and they were just standing up and give the finger to the French going, we have not finesse. We are going to beat you over the head.
Like the Robin Williams profile. Said, I am French. I give a cigarette to a baby.
Yeah. So, I think that the same thing is true with, blenders and, cigar manufacturers, and especially those that are venturing out and using,
new methods.
The story of, the use of Cameroon wrapper, by Fuente is one of my favorite storylines. And,
I wish I had another rare leaf to smoke instead of this cigar.
It's just, there wasn't really anybody that was stepping out and using, Cameroon on such a big, broad level until he really created the,
Did he do it because they just couldn't get the scale they needed from the existing growers? And now it's become a whole class of its own because of simple economic pressure. Who knows?
And I think the Hemingway, absolutely set the standard for Cameron Rapper. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of San Andreas, I'm just going to smoke a San Andreas. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here for our sponsors and ads.
We're wrapping it up.
And we're going to wrap it up here.
Well,
all right.
You've put up with us for
almost an hour.
Well, let's go ahead and just say goodbyes then.
Well, so would you guys come back around to Agonorsa with this product line? Yeah.
Yes.
This is box worthy.
I would. I would definitely.
The rare leaf is box worthy.
I think they're all box worthy, to be honest with you, and I think that they are fantastic in what they're doing, and keep up the good work, you guys. Awesome. So I'd like to thank our host with us today. Thank you, good old boy Benjamin.
No, sir. Thank you for having me. Repeat offender here.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, good old boy Drew.
I'm happy that I made it, unlike good old boy Nate.
Oh, well, good old boy Nader Salad. He'll have to be with us on the next ones. But it happens. Good old boy Mike, thanks for filling in.
Well, I tried to punt and probably came up way short. But anyway.
Laces out, buddy.
Glad
Laces
to be here. Hey, come back and enjoy another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
And this is good old boy Barger. I'm signing out. And I'm just going to tell you, keep on smoking. Whatever it is, smoke it.
What would you pair with a donut?
You know, at one point in my life, I'd tell you an orange juice.
No, I meant like what cigar?
Oh, what cigar? Oh, man. Yeah, you know, a good Maduro with
probably
a cigar.
Put it through the hole coming. While good, you smoked it.
Was probably a petite Lancero. Yeah. Nailed it.
It would probably fit, bud.
Good petite Lancero. Bye, see you guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your hosts, the good old boys, will see you all next time.